Last time on Roll Weird. The fight with the Grafton monster breaks into the outside world. Dale and Danny are launched out into the lake. Whistler is King Konged by the monster. Lucas is on his own journey. Our heroes chase the Grafton monster into a trap, where they force it into an extra-dimensional space.
Lucas, it is round four. You may realize what is happening.
Okay. It adapts.
You still see everything weird, but you know what is happening right now to your body.
Okay, have to use this to my advantage. I've been poisoned. It adapts to everything that it gets hit with. We need to keep hitting it with something unpredictable. Cartoon logic, cartoon powers, can't predict that shit. Tropey enough to think up when you're really fucking high.
Alright.
I need you to lead me to it.
Brittany takes, and it's still kind of holding you, right? Pulls you through this door. And Lucas, as a high-level magic person in, like, the circles, pocket planes are almost unheard of. Like, only really exceptionally skilled people can do this. And it, you can tell the second she crosses that threshold that Brittany looks exhausted. That maintaining this will only last so long. That it causes an excessive amount of power that she's using right now. But you end up in what looks like a giant hollowed-out tree. It kind of looks designed like a treehouse. A part of it has been re-sculpted. There's, like, a fireplace. There's a table with a bunch of her notes. There's, like, a conspiracy board. There is a cot with, like, her bedding on it. And, like, a small stove next to the fire. Like, it looks like she's been hanging out here a while. It was, like, a cozy place. And now it's about to be destroyed with the Grafton monster inside. But it's, like, a sizable space. It's, like, 20 by 20.
I would like to use my second road again to, give this weird cartoon monster I've created another tag. That is another 10. I'm going to give it the tough tag and have it charge right at the Grafted monster. Try to draw fire.
Absolutely. It maybe doesn't understand the 2D thing. Immediately, and I think there's a period where can you describe the visage of your monster again one more time and what it looks like when it changes to tough?
I think when it changes to tough, it just gives it that innate cartoon ability to get run over by steamrollers and stuff like that. The monster looks like a very Hanna-Barbera humanoid cat with orange fur, purple stripes, tiny little baseball cap and a cigar sticking outside of its mouth. And the way it appears to us, think of like the cartoons walking around with people in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Beautiful. It's getting clocked left and right by a monster that looks like it knows a small amount of maybe even martial arts. Like it's like boxing this cartoon. And the cartoon is getting more and more bruises on its face. But looks to be standing on its own okay.
Hell yeah, buddy.
I was hoping to use that as, like, a floating protect someone.
I like that, absolutely. Definitely, it will absorb some of the harm that's going around.
Perfect.
Danny, what do you got?
Is it still holding Whistler?
Whistler's in the scorpion tail backpack.
Okay. I am going to chuck the flamethrower off my back at the monster and then whip out the two pistols that I got from guards and just unload into the flamethrower when it gets real close to Mark's face.
So you want to, like, make it explode, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. You're sacrificing a pretty powerful weapon. I love that. Go ahead and roll kick some ass, and I'll deal some hefty stuff here, depending on how it goes.
Question.
Yeah.
Because I am kind of not using this as intended, could it be act under pressure?
It can hurt you back. It still kicks some ass.
Okay.
You can justify acting under pressure if there's nothing it could do against you.
What I'm scared about is that we're in a big tree.
That is an 8.
An 8. Okay. As you describe what it looks like as it explodes in its face, and I'll tell you how you are harmed in turn.
I think in Danny's mind, it looks really cool. Like, it's happening in slow motion. I'm, like, humming James Buffett to myself. I think in reality, though, Danny doesn't shoot guns. So it's, like, shots are going wild. Like, I'm mostly missing. And
we see it fly through Brittany's, like, Necronomicon sitting on the desk. And there's a... from her as a bullet crashes through it.
I don't think I'm aiming particularly well either. Like, I'm kind of, like, all... like, I'm crouching. I'm kind of all over the place. And yeah. I think one ricochets off of, like, a hunk of Dale's broken car. And that one ricochet is the one that happens to hit the flamethrower just right and explode it on Mark.
For sure. We see a large part of Mark's face blast off. Like, you can see the skull and an exploded eye. We also see that the treehouse, the inside of this treehouse, is super on fire. As bits of, like, the volatile fluid that enters, you know, makes flamethrowers work, has kind of spread around. It's not, you're not, like, engulfed in a flaming house, but it definitely will be soon. and a bit of Mark's, like, molten blood flies out of his body and hits you. We see the cat manage to, like, baseball dunk slam some of it away, like, gets to scatter it a little bit. We know that Whistler is inside the scorpion tail thing and shocking it. I'm going to say that reduces its harm that it can do to you a fair bit. Take one harm, but it ignores any, like, resistance or anything you might have had.
Okay, I am unconscious at that point.
But you are alive.
Yes.
What does it look like as you go down?
I think Danny explodes backwards. Pisses himself a little bit, hits the wall, and as they try to stand up, they then just, like, completely fold, like, just ragdoll. They, like, take a step forward after, like, getting up, and as they go down, they go, dude, and just ragdoll.
Slam.
Damn.
You go down. Yeah. But we see that Mark is, it looks horrific. Like, part of they sit down, and you can see they're dedicating a lot of just, like, focus to their fucking face. As Mark's body, like, we see tendons and flesh start to, like, emerge from the sides of the wound and try to close it and start to produce a new eye. They will do no harm on the next person. Who's up next?
I think it's me, but if we had to have him incapacitated, I feel like the Grave Watch.
I mean, if you give him a minute, he's not going to be incapacitated anymore. Okay.
I mean, is there any... can I discern if there's any, like, sense in staying inside of the scorpion thing, or have I kind of, like, done all I can do with that?
You can tell that it's working less and less. Like, for sure, it's been in there long enough that he's adapting to it.
Yeah.
But it's, you can tell also that it will only take a little bit more oomph to maybe put Mark out of commission. So something new and novel right now would be wonderful.
It's only 20 by 20, so if I fling him somewhere, with telekinesis. I mean, I could really just smack him up against, I guess, the roof of the tree.
True.
Really, what I would love to happen is to roll real good and use my advanced telekinesis. But I'm gonna try telekinesing him because he hasn't taken damage that way yet.
That's true.
Oh boy.
I liked that sound.
It's an 8. It's not that bad. Honestly, I don't know.
Would it knock you out?
It would. It will knock me out.
Can I help out?
Oh yeah.
If you want,
also like. I would also like to help out.
He can just turn it into a 12.
If I roll a.
Where was that on my turn, Dale Kent?
Where was that when he was trying to kill the
monster? I didn't know you were going to straight up die, and also it might not work. I have to roll like a 12 plus, and
okay,
I don't
care.
You have to get a 9 or higher, and then you're good.
I did not. I got a 10, so.
Okay, so it becomes your roll becomes a 9 now?
Okay, I will also help out.
Sounds good.
I didn't think you were going to die, Andy, to be honest. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, sick. Half success.
7.
Brings it up to a 10.
Alright.
But you get yourself in danger. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Okay. Choose 2 options on a 10. Oh, okay. Telekinesis options. Something is held fast. Mark. And something is hurt. 2 harm smash.
I love it. So you put this like crushing force onto Mark.
Yeah,
I
think it's like we see the 2 ghostly hands like crawling out of the scorpion, and it like grabs Mark's head as Whistler is coming out of the scorpion, and just like goes forward and slams his forehead against the ground.
Beautiful. While you were emerging from it, the I said I would do no harm this round.
You did
so,
say that.
Lucas, you're safe. It tries. It yanks out the scorpion from its back, and it launches it towards you, but it whiffs by a mile as its body kind of can't adjust to its all of these things bombarding it. And it's stuck to the ground. Dale, anyone bring us home?
Oh.
Also, Whistler, what harm are you at?
You
still take 1 harm, right?
Oh, yeah, but I can reduce that by immortal, right? Because it's my power. Yeah, so I'm still at 6 harm. I'm still unstable. It's still not good out here.
Honestly, I mean...
You're unstable, you say? No, go ahead. I said I would do no harm. Oh, I'll hold to that. And I'll honor it.
We said medic isn't something I can use in combat, right?
I think you can, but it puts, I think, like, significant risk on anybody else who might be trying to do something, or, like...
Finish the monster! Get to me later!
Alrighty. Then I'll, with the sort of good graces of the dead, dying, not dead, I'm gonna drive the car 1 more time.
I don't think the car fits in the thing, like, through
the
door.
Oh, I see, It didn't fully go in. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I don't have anything that can hurt him anyway, I don't think.
Could some debris from the car have, like, crashed inside of here?
Well, he's immune to piercing things.
Oh, right.
So I can't stab him. You know, I'm just gonna walk over to him, I think.
Chair!
I was thinking about it. I think...
But not just bludgeoning him.
Maybe this is too much of a stretch, but I think what Dale's going to do is he's going to walk over to where Mark is kind of in, like, on the ground, and wherever the healing is trying to happen on his face, Dale's just going to put his hands on his, like, bare skull so that if it wants to heal, it has to heal over him. And I think Dale's just going to try to force him to look him in the eye, and if he doesn't see anything that he recognizes, Dale's just going to rip his hands back out.
Ooh, make me a very, very critical, manipulative person.
Uh, No!
I'm spending luck. I'm spending luck. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. You deserve it! No. It's your brother! Holy shit.
There is like this brutal fight. You can feel your hands underneath the flesh as it very quickly starts to grow over you. And it's Marcus like fighting back with all his force until very, very briefly the two of you lock eyes. And there's this like great pause. And we hear,
"It's me, Mark. I'm here. I'm not gonna let anything happen to you, okay? Just calm down."
I'm sorry.
You ain't got nothing to be sorry for, okay?
Help me.
I will. If I can, I will.
And Whistler, you no longer feel any resistance. And as you stand there, as everything starts to calm down, does anyone want to heal Danny while this is happening? Thank you.
Lucas is absolutely running over and just clear. 10, heal 3. Wow, I'm rolling a lot of 10s today.
Soren over there like, must be nice.
Yeah, right.
to be fair. Nothing
but like 3s and 4s all night.
To be fair, the first half of the fight, that was me.
Truth.
And this sudden calm washes over as Brittany starts spraying a fire extinguisher around the room.
Danny coughs and goes, "Damn, I don't know why I paid for top surgery. You can just shoot a flamethrower, it'll blow your tits right off."
Ha!
That was a good one, you hear, as a new figure steps into this domain, and we see Dr. Jekyll, who looks at a time. Like when they walk into a room, you're like, that's a cosplayer. Because outside of wearing like the robes they wore in the Grove, Dr. Jekyll wears like the coat with that's up to your neck, and it's like long black, and it has a bunch of gold buttons straight down.
Yeah,
like they look like they're almost like in a military situation, or like a Moriarty. And behind them is Dolly, who sprints past everyone to hug Dale and Mark. And she says, "I missed you so much." And things, like, help has arrived and things start to calm. And you recognize that you're definitely, definitely safe. And I mean that with no irony when I say definitely twice.
I don't like that you said there was no irony, because now I think there is.
What? Yeah. Who was doing what?
All right, we need to get our story straight. We were filming a video, and there was a freak lightning strike.
All right.
I think Danny goes for their knife and is like, "Guys, there's a Dracula. Oh, I got it, don't worry."
Oh, okay. No, here. Let me catch you up to speed. And Whistler, you see Whistler like put a hand on Danny and is like pulling them off to the side to like exposit at them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the little cat guy. It's his face.
Yeah.
The mascot. Go. Yeah.
Is Mark conscious or is he?
Yeah. I mean, he's slipping in and out of it, I think. He's taking a shitload of damage.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you guys can get him back to the Grove? I don't know if there's anywhere else safe for him.
I would be more than happy to. It's just so good to see him again. and she puts her hands on Mark's back and like lays her cheek on top of him and just starts like humming. And Whistler, you can feel all of his muscles relax. And the entire time that you've been connected to him, nothing has ever been more tense in his body before that.
I do think that Whistler isn't in the scorpion right now.
Oh, right. Now, I just assumed that you were, like, holding, because you were, like, holding them
down.
Oh,
that's true. Yeah, right, right. Like, no resistance with telekinesis. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Does anyone want to go tell the emergency services that everything's all right?
I'm not exactly a great people person, but if no one else can, I will.
Seems like a grave it sounds watch like mess. Maybe it's a grave watch cleanup job, too.
I was going to volunteer Jerry to do it, because he kind of fucked everything else up tonight. But just kidding, Jerry. You did great. Really proud of you. You really stepped up. I'm just mad at myself. I'm hurt. But Jerry and I are great at talking with people. We're real people, you know? We're great at explaining the situation in a way that everyone understands, comprehends.
Yeah, also, they might take one look at my pupils and just arrest me on the spot.
There's no reason why that isn't true for Danny.
We got it.
We're both white. Cops tend to just let us kind of do whatever the fuck we want, to be honest.
Small yeah, business. Me, I'm white.
Small business owner.
Yeah, we got it. You just got your family back, so please, don't take the time away.
We got a whole who's on first kind of, you know, it'll be great.
The old razzle-dazzle.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch that, Dale. Catch up with your family. You deserve it.
And I think as they leave, Danny does genuinely compliment Jerry.
Jerry was feeling so down a moment ago, but is over the moon to get praise from their boss. Danny, why don't you go and roll me easygoing?
That's what I was hoping for. Could be worse. Got an 8.
What does that do on a 7 or 9?
7 to 9. They open up more than usual, but still regard you as a stranger.
Okay. I don't think they're going to, like, be totally chill, but I think they will hold off and report a suspicious situation later. If you want to describe to me kind of, like, the overall gist of what it looks like as you're keeping, like, cops and emergency responders, like, ambulance or EMTs like away.
I think I tell them an elaborate story involving accidental exposure to fentanyl. And then just kind of start compounding that in with the flying man and my car got forced off the road and that's why it's in the lake and there was an explosion and that's how the fentanyl got everywhere. And everyone got exposed to fentanyl. I don't know what fentanyl is. And it just keeps getting more and more elaborate each time we tell it. And
for sure.
Jerry keeps interrupting me. I keep interrupting Jerry, but like not in a rude way, in like a we've practiced this sort of thing. We're doing a Jay and Silent Bob, you know? We're kind of not really saying anything while saying too much.
I see. Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, we as the universe
just talk
know
them in circles.
That this will be reported as like a strange incident that happened. And in the same way, like in last campaign, where drawing too much attention causes outside problems, it's going to be one of those. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, they're not going to stop you right now.
Will they get me a tow truck?
They will. They think that's, yeah, for sure.
I do like the idea that you were like, so I had all this fentanyl in my truck, and then the truck crashed in the river, and then everyone got it. That's why. That's why
there was clearly there was a fentanyl lab in the dam, and I was just trying to play Ultimate Alliance Gold Edition while I was driving, and the fentanyl went through the window.
So the boat's in the water is where the boat's supposed to go.
I don't know how this would work. But I would love if the next arc, we take the parts that are left of the two cars and Frankenstein them together.
Part of the ship, part of the crew.
I think that sounds like a great interlude. Yeah. Whistler and Dale, what's going on with you guys?
I think Whistler is largely hanging back. You know, they kind of just didn't go with the other party to smooth things over socially because they physically can't. But they're trying to give Dale and Brittany like a lot of space.
I don't think Dale has stopped holding Mark. I think he's gonna like look over and be like, you know, Dad came. He's not here now, but he's dealing with Gravewatch stuff. I wouldn't have found you without him. So,
even in the like misshapen face, you sense like this sensation of feeling crestfallen. Like that information doesn't actually make him happy.
What'd they do to you in there?
Change. Live forever.
How can I ease your pain without making you more able to hurt people again?
And I think Dr. Jekyll takes a step forward, and he has like a syringe, and he says, "Would you mind?"
"Yes, but please."
And he sticks it into Mark's neck, and as it goes in, like it's a one-to-one, as he presses the thing, Mark shrinks a little bit.
We can, between myself and Dolly, reduce a lot of this. It won't be perfect, but at least you'll be more cognizant.
Okay. I think I'm going to turn to Britt and be like, "So we're all back together again.
It's been so long.
What do we do now?"
Well, I mean, first things first, make sure Mark is safe.
Yeah.
And then see what the hell Dad is up to. Haven't heard from Mom, and or why Madam Templeton didn't tell me or you that we was going to be here at the same time. I feel like all the parents is shutting us out.
Yeah. And the only people we could go to get more information compromised.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth, Britt, I don't rightly know how to keep on going working for the Gravewatch right now.
As you say that, Maddie Jong, the new Wire member, steps through the gate here and says,
"There you are. Guys, I'm so sorry."
"Hey, Maddie, how did you find us?"
I heard that the emergency vehicles were down this way, and then I saw a crashed Gravewatch van when I got a little bit further than them. But yeah, you guys got to get out of here. I'm so sorry."
"Yeah, we're working on that as soon as we can."
She takes out her phone and shows you guys that an alert has been sent out to every Gravewatch member except you, that the McIntyre family is banished from Gravewatch, and that they are to be captured and brought in as soon as they are found. that Adam McIntyre staged an attack on Mazcal's research lab.
Fucking course.
And you get the impression that they knew that this sort of thing was going to happen. Or okay. Mazcal at least did. Like, it's so weird that he just left when you guys showed up.
Well, it ain't like we ain't playing for this, Brent. We gotta get our go bags, give our contacts our last point of rendezvous, and go to the wind.
God damn it, damn it, damn it. I thought this was it. I thought this was going to be the moment we all get everything back together and things start making sense again.
I think things are starting to make sense, Brett. I think there's a lot of things that felt right, and they ain't. And now we're just old enough to figure that out, so. It ain't over, but we're on a better path than we were before.
Do you ever get that feeling when you was a kid, or we was kids? That everything our parents told us we're supposed to believe, they don't actually believe. It's like when they say follow the golden rule and they're suddenly mean to everybody.
Tell you the truth, Britt, I don't think I ever noticed that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Where can I find you when the dust clears?
I think it's probably wisest that... until very recently, she turns to Dolly and Jekyll. I actually thought you guys were enemies, but it sounds like you all have cleared the air. So I'm okay to join y'all to go to the grove. I can't hold this, she directs to the place much longer. I'll keep him here for as long as it takes to get everyone out of here quietly and everything, but this requires an enormous amount of energy to maintain.
All right.
It's like, you know, like face shit.
If I knew anything about what that was, a lot of the problems that we faced like 2 months ago would have been way easier, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. You ran into the TV guy, right?
Yeah.
And the stained glass thing?
Yeah, not per... yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I got something to tell you about. We lost the snow globe, Britt. I know already enough shit's going down, but I don't think I had a chance to tell you that until now.
Her, like, stone visage, remember that, like, her eyes never move anywhere? Like, her face is always the same. Even when she says something very emphatic, it breaks. There is clear, like, fear in her face as you say that.
Shit. But I got the spike, though. I didn't lose that.
Okay.
I think.
Shit.
I trusted someone, okay?
Fuck.
That's it. I thought I could trust him.
I don't know who you're referring to, but I would never fault you for trusting someone.
I'll get it back for you. But now I figure we gotta pick up stakes, move on to the next spot. We'll figure that out when we get there.
Okay. Home. Mark, just a sight of mules on the floor.
I hope so, Mark. I hope so.
Home. And we see out of those gray, that like those gray sunken eyes, tears streak down. And Brittany pulls the two of you into a small embrace, but Mark can't really manage it, so it's just kind of the best they can do. And I think that scene closes out. we see, first, I think we see a quick clip of the Queen Anchovy's Revenge getting yanked out of the river, and a small inventory being taken of all the food and stuff that was lost. We see there's a moment where Brittany starts to call your Aunt Henry the mechanic and doesn't. It makes a point to not involve people that might be at risk. And we see a pretty broken up caravan start pulling down a pretty empty highway towards Tennessee for, I think it's like 8 hours. We see Mark sitting in the back of the van, about half the size that he was. A lot of his skin looks more normal. It's still grayed, but the entire time, a dolly won't stay out of his ear. Just keeps talking him down. And we see there are little flicks of like that innate like rage peek forward and disappear, and peek forward and disappear. And we see on like a bunch of computers and TVs, we see that massive TV room that we had once that Lucas had stumbled into, with a bunch of screens tilted to everyone's faces, to mass calls, to Marks, to PDs, to a bunch of computers, where we see basically like an internal newsletter of Gravewatch declaring that the traitor, Adam McIntyre, has been captured in an attempt to murder Dr. Mazcal as a play for power, and that they are to bring in Jolene next, for she might know something. She might be organizing a revolt within its numbers. And that Mark, and they show a picture of his old, younger face, where he looks relatively normal. A little scraggly, but fine. And you and Brittany, and declare that you are to be captured on site. It talks about how everyone should be on their guard, how everyone should stick to their own family as best they can, and wait for communication from the wire only. If anybody else is trying to give you directives, avoid them. And we see, on a grand scale, the Gravewatch really starts to fracture into these discrete pockets of paranoid, scared, and really lethal enemies.
We picked Bigfoot up, right?
Oh, yes. Bigfoot has been there the whole time. And also Bigfoot was there. And
in the background. Out of sight. Background.
Yes.
A little blurry.
Maybe took the opportunity when everyone was vaulted outside to go get out of there.
Totally forgot. Oh,
And they are later picked up in a car, in like a red sedan, by Batsquatch as they zoom out onto the highway.
I think they should stay with the Grove. If we see them, I would probably recommend that, just because
that makes sense. They totally take that advice.
So yeah, like maybe stick with some other pals.
Yeah. And they take your advice, and I think there's this long convoy of people and monsters united heading to the Grove, the place where it all comes into one. And we return to Tennessee. And as we pull up, we see the Grove's many members that still remained in their same kind of robes and clothes, so excited to see you again and welcome you to safety in their arms. And we cut out.
Where They May Radio.